It's here and now, and it was not supposed to be released until next month, but the leaks are coming out about a big United Nations report on climate change. It says human activity is almost certainly the cause of climate change and that rising temperatures are to blame for warming ocean waters, the melting of Arctic ice, and sea level rise. The report says that sea levels worldwide could rise by 3 feet by the year 2100. To help us understand what we know about the report and its significance, we're joined by William Mumaw, a professor of international environmental policy at the Fletcher School at Tufts University. He was a lead author on previous climate change reports, and he's with us now from Williamstown, Massachusetts. Professor Mumaw, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so the leaked draft of this UN report says that it is now 95% certain that climate change is caused by human activity. The last report in 2007 said it was just 90% certain that this was being caused by humans. How big of a difference is that? Does it matter?
Well, the scientists are never willing to say something is absolutely certain. So they always put some kind of probability on it. And I remember when the early report said it is possible that humans are causing climate change. And then it went to it is as likely as not. And then and so on and so forth. It's been strengthened over time. And in 2000, it was decided to put some kind of numerical number on it. So the difference between 90 and 95% may not seem like much. But to scientists, saying 95% puts it within a range that they feel comfortable with saying, yep, it's happening.
Yet the leaked draft does backtrack from the previous report as far as the projected minimum temperature the planet could warm if carbon dioxide levels double. The previous report used a minimum of 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. The new draft says 2.7 degrees. What's the difference there?
It's a small difference. And in fact, the 2.7 degree number was the number that was used for all the reports prior to the 2007 report. So it's basically going back to where we were before. Remember that the upper range, the upper estimate is still the same, 8 degrees Fahrenheit. So that hasn't changed.
What about this projected 3-foot rise in sea levels by 2100? Tell us what that really means in real terms.
But what it means in real terms is that a whole lot of coastal cities are in deep trouble. Remember that we've only had about 10 inches of sea level rise in the past century, and yet when Sandy hit New York, it led to immense storm surges across that inundated much of lower Manhattan. 3 feet, and Manhattan was designed back when the sea levels were 10 inches lower.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about 3 feet, I mean, Miami, New Orleans, New York, Boston, to say nothing of major coastal Chinese cities. In fact, among the top 10 cities to be damaged, India and China suffer the most, and the U.S. probably second most in the world. In terms of numbers of cities that would be adversely affected.
Well, and I was living in Manhattan during Sandy and remember seeing the water flowing down 21st Street up to First Avenue, which I never thought I would see. But what does it mean for a city like New York and what it's going to need to do to deal with this threat if the sea levels are really going to rise, as this predicts, by 3 feet by 2100?
Well, see, it's not only the 3-foot rise, but the intensity of storms like Sandy is likely to increase as well. So that means that you have more intense storms on top of higher water. So New York is going to have to make a decision. Are there parts of New York that should be abandoned to nature, as I believe Governor Cuomo said? So parts of the Far Rockaways, parts of Staten Island, may be allowed to return to nature, or could be enhanced by putting in more sand dunes, more oyster beds, more constructed wetlands. But then, for protecting, you know, we're probably not going to let Wall Street and the new government center in Lower Manhattan go. So
they'd probably rather just put up a wall and let Wall Street live up to its name.
Yeah, right. That's right. It'll be just like China. We will have a great wall as well.
Well, you were involved in writing chapters of previous UN climate reports. How much of an impact do these things have? How much are people paying attention to what these reports say?
It's a very good question. As you know, these involve hundreds of scientists from around the world assessing all that's been studied and reported on climate change in the past 6-7 years. And when the first one came out in 1990, it was kind of a quickie, frankly, because the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change only had its first meeting in January of 1988, a meeting which I attended, although I was not part of the IPCC at that time. And that report in 1990 hastened and made possible the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change that every nation in the world is a party to, including the United States. George Bush, president at the time, the first George Bush, brought it back to the U.S. Senate in June, and it was ratified in October unanimously without dissent. The next report was 1995, and by 1997, the Kyoto Protocol, which said, well, this is what we really have to do. We have to reduce by this much percentage for all these developed countries, happened 2 years later. Well, of course, the U.S. backed out, and that really held up ratification by enough countries to make it go.
Well, and let me bring you to now and the fact that in Washington, there doesn't seem to be a big move afoot, even with the Obama administration in office, to do a lot about climate change right now.
Well, I'm not sure I would agree with that completely. As you know, President Obama made climate change a big piece of his inaugural address and of his recent State of the Union address and this recent speech in Georgetown. And he's moving rapidly ahead. Since Congress won't do anything, he's doing what can be done by the administration.
Right.
And among the things that have happened is by tightening up the Clean Air Act, there are probably 150 coal plants that have not been built in the United States in the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, we'll have to see what can be done by executive order, because it doesn't look like he's got a lot of allies in the Republican Congress to take action on climate change in his remaining few years in office. But Mr. Mumaw, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back in 1 minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.